wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen. Now that's a good thought. But I pray that in each of our lives, it's more than just a thought. I pray that it's a commitment. The Lord, you speak, you direct, I'll go. We welcome you again to this service on the web, and we pray that you're blessed as we sing and preach and share in God's word, pray together. And I pray that today that the Lord will bless you, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances. And I know that he has a blessing for you if you'll open your spiritual ears to hear what God has to say. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every blessing that's ours. Lord, we commit this service to you. It's not just a time for us to perform. It's a time for you to speak through us as we preach and as we pray, as we sing. And Lord, may your honor and your glory be lifted up and praised. May you have the liberty to say what you need to say. May we hear with spiritual ears what you have to say to us. And Lord, for those that are listening, I pray that you might meet their needs, whether they need to be saved, encouraged, directed, guided. Whatever each of us needs, Lord, may you give it to us, and we'll receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to Sunday, September the 20th, to our webcast. And as usual, we want to do a hymn sing. And I have one picked out for us to sing, I Must Tell Jesus. Brenda?
Tell Jesus all of my trials.
Good morning. I have some announcements for you this morning, for Sunday morning, September the 20th. Firstly, let me advise all of you that our homecoming services and fellowship meals have been canceled for this year due to the coronavirus. So mark your calendars, and God willing, next year we'll all get together and celebrate homecoming. Next Sunday will be an important time for us. Next Sunday we'll be moving from the parking lot services and we'll be moving inside the sanctuary. Service will start at 10 a.m. We ask that everyone please wear your mask, follow safe distancing suggestions, and also the pews will be labeled. So if you will find your name on the pew, then you can sit there. Or if wherever you sit, please remember safe distancing procedures, and we will go that way. Now, also, we're going to give you a couple options for those of you that may not feel comfortable to go and in back into the sanctuary. You can remain in your cars and listen to the program and listen to our service on 99.1. You can do that. And also, you can go down into the fellowship hall and listen to the service there on the same 99.1 receiver that we have there. So keep that in mind. Also, now, you webcast listeners, and I know there's a lot of you, and a lot of you do. I want to be sure that you understand now this Sunday, this service will be available to you at the normal time. But beginning next week or next Sunday, you will need to start looking for the program or the service on your webcast for between 12 and 12:30, because we're going to be using the same service that we will have at 10, and it'll be recorded for the webcast. So you all keep that in mind and go from there. And that's all the announcements I have for today. Our prayer concerns are, and we have several, that we need to lift up before the Lord in prayer. Let's remember the Earlene Burris family. Miss Earlene has passed away, and the family certainly needs our prayers and for support. Let's remember Mary Dunnigan. Mary Dunnigan's an old-time person that was in our church a long, long time ago, and she was quite an asset to our church, and she loved people, and she had definitely visited and did a lot of work here behind the scenes. Let's remember Mary. She's in the hospital now, and I'm told in not good condition. So let's keep Mary in our prayers. Let's continue to remember Jeff Kay's mother, who is battling cancer. Also, let's pray for Jeff Kay as well. Jeff is still having a few side effects from his surgery, and let's remember him and that God will restore him to his normal degree of health. Also, Pam's family. Let's continue to remember Pam and her family after the death of her mother. Storm victims, and there are many, and still in the Texas area and Louisiana area. Then we had another one come in with the flooding that has brought more problems to the Gulf Coast. And so let's remember them, and not only this for the Gulf Coast, but all inland that it came to. So let's remember those people who are hurting today. And that's all the prayer concerns I have, except the way we need to always remember our church. And as we go about doing things a little differently, as we move back into the sanctuary, let's pray that God will continue to take care of us. And I know he's bigger than any problem we have. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us another Lord's Day, that we can worship your name. And Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the freedom that we have to do just that. And Lord, before we ask you for any other thing, Lord, we want to continue to say thank you. Thank you for the praise reports that we've had where God has touched bodies and people are doing better. But Lord, there are still people among us, Lord, that are hurting, that need your touch and need your help. We want to lift up, Lord, the Earlene Burris family after Miss Earlene has passed away. Lord, she's with you in heaven. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for the family. Lift up Mary Dunnigan to you, Lord, as she is in the hospital. We pray for her. We pray that you would touch her body. Then there's Jeff's mom who is battling cancer. We know, Lord, that you know all about it. And we know, Lord, that your will be done. And we pray, Lord, for your will in her life. We pray for Jeff Kay, and as he is experiencing some problems after surgery. But we pray for him that you would touch his body, restore him to a normal degree of health, we pray. pray for Pam and her and the family. We lift them up to you, Lord. Then all the storm victims that, Lord, that are there in Louisiana and Texas and the Gulf Coast and all around. Lord, we know there's a lot of people without power, without food. And Lord, I am so thankful that we still have people who their hearts are big and are reaching out to help the people. And Lord, we pray for your guidance for them. Give them safety, we pray. Now, Lord, go with us forward as we go forward into this webcast service today. We thank you for Tonda, who will be singing today. We thank you for Pastor Ed. We lift him up to you. We're so thankful, Lord, that he is indeed our full-time pastor. And we pray for him and his guidance and his leadership. Thank you for Brenda as she's here in her place as usual. And thank you for Wes, our technician today. Go with us now, we pray. And we so thank you, Lord, for the many things you give us. And we're going to be very, very careful to thank you in your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And good morning. We are back again for our, I think, probably 24th session. I remember hearing Leonard say something about 20-something last week, I think. And I did slip in a little late, so I do want to first give you an update on Bryson Martin, our little fella that's over at St. Jude's. And we do have a new address for Bryson. It's actually our old address. With room number 20. But if there is any of you that do not remember the old address, it is Ronald McDonald House for the Bryson Martin family, room number 20, and that's 535 Alabama Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. And of course, when we are back in our sanctuary, I'm assuming we'll be doing bulletins, and we'll certainly make sure that it goes into a bulletin so that we can all have it. And Tamara and I both have it as well. So please ask either of us if you forget. But we do want to encourage folks to send cards. He's very thrilled with those. He has been very sick post last treatment. Think he is now feeling better, and of course at the feeling better stage is when it's time for the next treatment. So he will be going back in next week for his next treatment, so please pray that this time is better for him. It's very difficult for the little people to understand when we know how hard it is for the big people. So we'll move on. This morning, we chose a song. Leonard and I had spoke about it a couple Sundays ago. My House is Full. After I sang the Come Morning, we like to bring out some of our older ones. And, of course, this is a good time of the year we're talking about in the song about the harvest and, you know, coming into our fields and how important it is to be a part of that. We're so thankful for our farmers for doing that, and we are so thankful that we have our house here at Barbie's Grove, and we want to see our people come in and come to the field again and work hard. We need to be reaping. So this song says a lot, so sing along with me. I know a lot of you will remember it as well.
Lots of food on
Thank you so much, Tonda, for that special music. It's just amazing how week after week I feel led to preach in certain areas, and then we show up and the music just goes perfectly with what I want to share. And see, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Amen. We don't get on the phone and say, I'm going to preach and you're going to sing and whatever. It's just the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as you listen to what I have to say, that somehow in the back of your mind, my Father's house is full, but the fields are empty, will just sort of reverberate and echo, not just through your mind, but down into your spirit. You know, some things in life come to us as helpful hints. Other things come to us as suggested things to do. But then other things come to us as commands or marching orders. The New Testament, Jesus gives us the marching orders to take the good news of the gospel of salvation to a lost and dying world. I love the statement, God only had one son and he made him a missionary. God had one son and he made him a missionary. So we also are to be missionaries into the world. Of course, it's easy to say, now, Pastor Ed, I'm homebound, or I'm elderly, or I've got this problem, or I can't go. But as we look through some scriptures, I think we're going to find a place where most everybody can fit in. But first, let's just be reminded of our marching orders. In Matthew 28, we find Jesus saying, beginning in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go. Or some translations have, as you go, therefore, as you go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In other words, he said, go, teach, bring people to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, baptize them, and then teach them further so that they might grow up as disciples and become the kind of person, the kind of full-grown, mature Christian that they want, the Lord wants them to be. Now, in the last of the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and following, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven to the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So Jesus again says, go out, share the gospel. Those that are believed will have eternal life. Those that don't believe will be eternally punished. As Paul says in the book of Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? They've got to hear yes or no so they can make that decision. And then in the book of Acts, in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus says in verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Notice Jesus said, you're going to go, you're going to start where you are, you're going to spread out into your neighborhood, you're going to spread out into the, in American terms, the county, the state, the nation, and then to the end of the world. But he says, you don't have to do it in your own strength, your own wisdom, your own power. He said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And when he infills you and he empowers you and he directs you, then You'll be powerful witnesses wherever you are. Now, as the last part of the book of Mark says, they did it. And as you just follow through in the book of Acts, if you just read over and over and over again in the book of Acts, all the things that they did and how they did it, first they did it in their just normal daily walk. In Acts 2:14, we find Peter standing up, the 11 lifting up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words." And then he goes on and he preaches. First way that they reached their world was with preaching. God calls certain folks to the pulpit ministry to be preachers. And praise the Lord that he does. And so Peter says that they went out, or the book of Acts says they went out and Peter preached. And of course, a lot of other people in the book of Acts preached. As I said in the newsletter this week, some of the deacons preached. So it's not just the guy that's called as a full-time pastor or an associate pastor to church. It can be others that do the preaching of the Word of God. In Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In other words, as the people were going about their daily life, you remember 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, and then it says as they were going about doing their thing, sharing, fellowship, their lives were touching the lives of other people, and as they touched the lives of other people, folks said, "I want the Jesus that you have." And folks, anybody can do that. You don't have to be somebody ordained, especially called with a diploma on the wall or a certificate of ordination on the wall. In your daily life, you can share Jesus with folks that need Jesus. In Acts 4:32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." In other words, they did it through their giving. Oh, I love to give to missions, to know that there are people in places that are reaching people that I can't go. There's a fellow down in Colombia, South America, not Colombia, South Carolina, Colombia, South America, Ecuador area. He and his teams are in the mountains. They walk, they ride motorcycles, or they ride mules. They go in places I cannot go. And it's just a blessing to be able to minister to them with finances and say, "You know, maybe I bought them another mule. I don't know. But anyway, they're getting the gospel to places that have never, little villages of native people of that area that have never heard about Jesus. Then when you get to Acts 8, it tells us that, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church," which was at Jerusalem, "and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the disciples." And then verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Persecution arose, and the people were scattered all over the area. And you'd think that being scattered all over the area, they would have maybe been shy, timid. "Hey, we got persecuted down in Jerusalem. We don't want to tell anybody we were Christian." No, they were bold to share Jesus wherever they were. What a wonderful thing it is when someone's in the armed services and they share Jesus right there in the barracks. When someone's in a college dorm and shares Jesus right there in the college dorm. When they're out on business or pleasure and they share Jesus. It's amazing. Sometimes I remember a conversation that Pamela and I had about a year ago in a motel up in the mountains. Lady there that was, you know how some motels have little food bars for breakfast, and she was there. That particular motel had more than normal, and this lady was there, and we got to talking to her and sharing about the Lord. And just amazing how you can do that no matter where you are. So you see, they went about their normal daily lives, and everywhere they went, they shared Jesus. But you find something else in as you read through these scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, is that there were specific times and specific instances where the Holy Spirit would go to a believer and he would say to him or he would say to her, I want you to go here or there. I want you to minister to this particular person. And as they were sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's just amazing how God worked. I have a friend or had a friend that's now passed away. He used to talk with me about, Ed, it's just amazing about the holy coincidences that happen whenever you try your best to follow the Lord. You know, at times the Holy Spirit will just give you a nudge. You'll just hear him say, call this certain person. Visit this certain person. Or maybe he says, go to a certain place. Go to a certain place. And maybe you don't usually go there for breakfast, or you don't usually go there for lunch, but you just go there, or you don't usually go to that park. But you go and you sit down and somebody comes in that you can share Jesus with. And those can become some of the most exciting times in our life when we're sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says to us, you go. And you don't know what to expect. You don't know who to expect. You think about it in the life of Jesus. They come to the well in the village, a village in Samaria, and Jesus sits there, and the disciples go into town to get some food, and Jesus is just sitting there, and here comes a woman. She's there in the middle of the day because she's an outcast. She's been married multiple times, living in adultery. She was a mess spiritually, emotionally, family-wise. But Jesus was right where he needed to be to meet her need. And her life and the life of her whole village was changed because Jesus was there at the appropriate moment. You know, one of the most exciting things can ever happen in your life is when you're at the right place at the right time to allow the Spirit of God to use you to touch somebody's life. Sometimes it's to lead them to Jesus. Sometimes it's to encourage them. And sometimes the tragedies of your life can be such a blessing to others. And it's not a blessing in a sense to you. It was a tragedy. But the Lord can use your tragedy to bless others. I'm thinking about a lady that lost a teenage daughter in a terribly bad accident. And she was heartbroken, and years later, she still has some pain. But she worked in an office, and it's amazing how over the next several years, copier, repairman, salespeople would come into the office, and somehow the conversation would come up and she would be able to share out of her pain with these people and help Jesus to become real to them. You know, it's amazing when we're sensitive to the Lord. Now, let's just give you some examples from the book of Acts of how people were sensitive to the Lord and God worked. In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Now see, Philip was just going down to Samaria. He began to share, and he was a deacon. Remember, he was one of the first deacons. And he began to share Jesus. People were amazed at the spiritual words that he preached and the miracles that God did through his hands. And it brought them to salvation and great joy. You remember later in that same chapter, Philip's having revival in Samaria, but the Holy Spirit says, now Philip, got another assignment for you. Go down on the road to Gaza. Now, Lord, you know, I'm a logical thinker. Most folks are in some way or other. And I'm sure Philip said, now, Lord, it doesn't make sense. I'm preaching a great revival here in Samaria. And you want me to go out there in the desert where there's nobody? But Philip was sensitive to the leadership of the Lord. He went and he ran across the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading from the book of Isaiah but didn't understand it. And it says, Philip climbed up into the chariot with him and began to explain what Isaiah was talking about when he talked about the crucifixion of Jesus. And I don't know how long they rode and how long Philip explained it to him, but they came up to some water. And this guy says, I want to be baptized. Tradition says he went on back to Ethiopia and became the founder of the Ethiopian Christian Church. Now you see, Philip was sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He went in an illogical sense to a place that he didn't know whether there'd be anybody there or not. But he went because the Lord told him to go. And as a result, a whole nation was affected. Oh, and then I love the one in Acts 10 where Cornelius is a Gentile, but he's a godly man as best he knows how. And one day an angel appears to him and says, Cornelius, you need to send down to Joppa and get Simon Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to know. Now at that time, you know, the Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles, and Peter's on the roof of the house, sort of napping a little bit before lunch, and he goes into this trance and he sees this sheet come down out of heaven with all kinds of unclean things on it, and the Lord says to him, rise and eat. Peter said, Lord, I've never eaten any of that stuff before. And that happens three times. And finally, the Lord says to him, Peter, there's somebody knocking on the door. You go with them and tell them about Jesus. And of course, Peter, being obedient, he did that. And as he went and shared with Cornelius, Gentiles were born into the kingdom of God. And suddenly it dawned on the Jewish believers, hey, this Christianity is for everybody. And I sure am glad, because I'm glad I can get in on it. As far as I know, there's no Jewish blood in me. There could be, who knows, but I don't know of any. And I sure am glad that Gentiles can be born into the family of God. And we know that because Peter was listening to the Holy Spirit and was obedient. In Acts 13, you read how the church was responsive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and sent out Saul and Barnabas as missionaries. It says they were fasting and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul or Saul and Barnabas and send them out. And the church said, Lord, if that's what you want, we'll do it. I often wondered if that church was typical if they said, Lord, that's two of our best leaders. That's two of our best leaders. How are we going to make it without them? In a sense, that happened with me. When I went to my last church, there's a young man, I think he was in his maybe mid-30s, very special young man. He was chairman of the pulpit committee. And I just, love Scotty and his wife, Ginger. And I guess I'd been in my church about 2 years, and he came and said, Lord's called us to the mission field. I said, that's a dirty trick to get me up here, and then you're going to abandon me. And I was just teasing him. And he went off to seminary, then went to Bangladesh, then went to Thailand. You see, they were two of the most special leaders in our church. But as I heard one pastor say, God chooses the best. You don't want to give him your worst. You don't want to give him your worst. But you see how wonderful this was, that God worked in the life to call out these men to the mission field. So let me say to you again, wherever you are, whatever your skills, and your skills may simply be the skills of listening. There are a number of people in there every day that just need somebody to hear their pain. It may be pain over sickness. It may be pain over loss of a loved one. It may be pain over disobedient children or something that's going on with their job. But there are a number of people every day that somebody with the skill of listening can be a minister. All kinds of ways if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to the book of Philippians for a moment. And we'll look at another incident. In Philippians in the 4th chapter, verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you also careful, but you lacked opportunity." And then verse 18, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which you are sent unto you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Notice this church in Philippi, they did two things. One, they sent Paul a missionary offering. Now, he didn't tell us whether it was money or whether it was food, clothing, books. We don't know, but they sent Paul an offering. But they also sent one of their own, Epaphroditus, to be a fellow helper. So, you see, here was a church that had a heart to give, had a heart to share. You, God's words are commanding marching orders. Go be witnesses. And God still is saying, who will work in my fields today? All of us can pray. All of us can share Jesus in our daily walk. All of us can share Jesus in our travels. All of us can give as the Lord enables us. And some of us are called to short-term or long-term service. The good thing now about missions is it's changed so much in 50 years. 50 years ago, if you were going to be a missionary, it was a lifetime, basically, commitment. And the mission board would give you a year of training, and then you would stay 4 years and come home for a year and go back for four more years. But now there's all kind of short-term weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, all kinds of ways that a person can go. And there's so many things in our state. Over the years, I've known dozens of people that have gone with North Carolina. Used to be called North Carolina Baptist Men. Now I think they call it Baptist on Mission, North Carolina Baptist on Mission. And I heard that there's some folks from one of our local churches in the Gulf Coast even now that they were leaving Thursday, going to minister to the hurting people there. I know that there, when we had the floods in the Canton in the mountains, we had people from all over the state of North Carolina that came and ministered to, did rewiring and rebuilding and plumbing and mudding, mud outs and all kinds of things, sharing Jesus as they went. All of us. And I'm amazed sometimes that people that go aren't always the healthiest. I had a little lady in my last church. She was diagnosed about the time I got there with something akin to MS. They said it wasn't MS, but it was something akin to it. You think that stopped her? She took her cane. She went to Honduras. She went on these trips to with the mud outs, and I don't know what all she did. She may have helped cook, but she would go on those trips with the North Carolina groups. She taught her Sunday school class. Her Sunday school class would feed in the local soup kitchen on their regular turn. You see, she was sharing Jesus wherever she went. Now, she could have gone home, said, I'm handicapped. I've got a disease. I can't do anything. But she didn't let it stop her. And last I heard, she was still teaching a Sunday school class, and that's been 25 years. One of the funny but not funny things about her, she'd gone over to Asheville to the hospital to visit somebody. And it was icy up on the parking deck. And she got right in the middle of the ice spot and couldn't move. And somebody had to come and gently lead her off to keep her from falling. That didn't stop her. She just kept right on serving the Lord. You see, she understood there's a harvest. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields ripe unto harvest. Folks, as long as there's one unsaved person in Dutch Cove community, long as there's one unsaved person in Barbies Grove community, one unsaved person in the Prospect community, wherever we are, we have a ministry to do. Wherever there's one hurting person, one lonely person, one needy person, we have a work to do. Jesus gave us our marching orders. In the gospel, not in the gospel, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 and 16, Paul had something to say that, just sort of impresses me. Not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. What'd Paul say? I want to go in the regions beyond. If anybody ought to have been able to sit down in his recliner and rest, it ought to have been the Apostle Paul. But Paul said, I want to go where nobody's ever been. I want to share the gospel wherever. In other words, Paul wanted to die sharing the gospel. What a tremendous testimony. Truly, the Lord is saying to you today, saying to me, the harvest fields are there. Go. I think I've shared these stories before, but I'm going to share them again. I went back to one of my former churches, and a little lady walked up to me and said, you visited me for 9 years, and I never came to church. but now I never miss. I don't know why she didn't come. She liked me, well, fine, but she just took her 9 years. 9 years of visiting. There was another couple that I visited and others visited and didn't seem to do any good. And then one day, my wife and two ladies from her Sunday school class went. And the next Sunday, Nancy showed up. Sunday or two after that, her husband showed up. And they continued faithful as long as we were there. It just took the right person to go. And then I think of a situation when we were in Oklahoma. There's a man in the church that came to somebody in leadership and said, would somebody go to the nursing home and witness to my mom and dad? And one of the associate pastor's wife and my wife went to witness to them. They were 95 years old. First time that they went, the couple's minds were sort of confused and they simply just visited. They went back and the Holy Spirit had worked a day of clarity. And both, this man and his wife, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't you know the devil hated that? Amen. He had them already with one foot in the grave on the way to hell. And at the last minute, because two ladies were willing to go and share, their destination was changed from hell to heaven. And both of them only lived another 6 months or so. But praise the Lord, somebody went. Somebody went. Folks, the fields are whitened to harvest. Don't look around and say, well, there's nothing I can do. God has a ministry for you and for me right here and around the world. Be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and He'll put you at the right place, the right time. He will empower you. He will give you the words to say, and lives will be changed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you make it possible for us to reach our world. Father, help us to take the blinders off of our eyes and see those fields widen to harvest. Father, it's fun to get together at church and fellowship and love on one another. But Father, there are people out there that are lost and are hurting, and you care about them just as much as you care about us. Help us to care and to love and to reach them. For Jesus died for them just as He died for us. Father, may we be sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit and not only know, but obey. And Lord, as the psalmist says, he that goeth forth bearing his and will come back bearing his sheep, his sheaves with rejoicing. We will come back rejoicing when we've reached people for Jesus and know that they've changed their eternity because we cared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.